Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 through 27. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Proverbs 12:10b. When Nebuchadnezzar found that the three Hebrew noblemen would not bow down to the god he had invented, he was willing to show them mercy to give them another chance to join his rebellion against God. This same mercy was extended to Martin Luther when religious men tried to change his stand on the scripture fact that the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. Only by the grace of God did Luther escape with his life. The same mercy was offered to John Huss, who was burned at the stake for his stand. That same mercy will be extended to believing Jews by the man of sin who is yet to come. Some of them will accept the offer. Repeated invitations for men to join in their sins are not born of mercy or kindness. The true condition of Nebuchadnezzar's heart is revealed by the last words of the offer which he made. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Daniel 3:15. What a journey he had made from being troubled to know to being lifted up in the same wicked pride which moved Satan to his first rebellion against the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar did not rebel ignorantly. He had earlier acknowledged the reality, authority, and wisdom of God. Read the following prophecy concerning the end-time rebellion when Gentile world rulers will choose to fight openly against God with full conscience of what they are doing. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Psalm 2, verses 1 through 4. Oh, the madness of a pride which is moved to challenge the Almighty. We might desire to destroy such a man, but God did not. Some human rebels can be saved, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:25. The king had not made a final turn toward evil, and God was continuing to deal with him. He was about to give Nebuchadnezzar a practical demonstration which would answer his proud question, "And who is that God?" Be patient with men, even as the Lord is. Sin itself need not be dealt with gently, and plain speech may sometimes be required, but God alone knows who will eventually accept his true mercy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were unmoved by the threats of the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Daniel 3, verse 16. Paul said something similar to the Corinthians, some of whom found fault with his ministry and walk. "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or man's judgment." 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Some things are the business of no one but God. All godly men, ever since God instituted human government, have recognized that to resist the power of government is to resist the ordinance of God. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. However, when those in power in the realm of spiritual matters command men to do that which they should not, it is no longer a question of obeying a power which God has ordained. When commanded by the high priest to stop preaching, Peter said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Acts 5:29. God's rule takes precedence over that of men. There is a verse in the Proverbs from which, by faulty interpretation, many have obtained false expectations concerning the ungodly. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Proverbs 16, verse 7. That does not necessarily mean that all our enemies will invariably be quieted and cause us no trouble here. Some who make themselves enemies will continue to fight until forced to bow the knee and confess Christ's lordship before the great white throne. Then, forcibly, they shall all be caused to be at peace with us. The ways which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had chosen were pleasing to the Lord. Yet Nebuchadnezzar's fury was unabated. His kindly look became murderous at their steadfast refusal to bow down. The courage of these men took into account the realities of the situation. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel 3, verses 17 and 18. In confirming that God could deliver them from the hands of the king, they were bold, but not blind. But if not, from the testimony of Scripture and history, we see that more who take such a stand are allowed to suffer than are miraculously delivered. When we say that we count all things as loss for him, it behooves us to realize that we may actually suffer the loss of all things. These men believed God for deliverance, but trusted him no matter what might come. Their purpose was to honor God, not themselves. True faithfulness in life may entail being faithful unto death. This is true no matter what group of believers is under pressure, in whatever age they live. Revelation 11 speaks of two witnesses who will minister after the church age overcomers are caught away and before the 3.5-year span of the Great Tribulation. They will stand against the increasing weight of spiritual wickedness with a testimony of bold power. But when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Revelation 11, verses 7 and 8. This will occur at Jerusalem. Their hope will have to be fixed upon Christ himself and upon the resurrection, not upon a positive assurance of earthly deliverances. Nebuchadnezzar, yielding as he was to the purpose of Satan, displayed a satanic disregard for his most loyal servants. He gave the order to heat the furnace to 7 times its normal heat before the faithful Jews were thrown in, Daniel 3:19. That such a hellish flame would destroy some of his mighty men, Daniel 3:22, was of no consequence to him. Only his anger at having his rebel authority challenged and thwarted mattered. How sad that men do not consider this fact when they ally themselves with a great rebel. Revelation 12:12 says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." At that hour, Satan will think nothing of expending huge numbers of his mightiest, most steadfast servants in his desperate wrath. Only God will keep him from destroying Israel and all the human race with them. Despite the overpowering, inescapable arrangement which Nebuchadnezzar made for destroying the 3 Hebrews, God purposed to show his power then, ever as it is now, and as it shall be in the coming tribulation period. Some he keeps from the fire, some he keeps in the fire. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Revelation 3:10. The promise of Revelation 3:10 is to keep faithful believers from the great tribulation. The original of that verse reads, "I also will keep thee out of the hour of trial which is about to come." This promise is available to us. The Jewish promise for that time is given in 2 Peter 2:9. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." Peter had the ministry of the circumcision. See Galatians 1:7. His epistles will have enormous impact on the same group as the writings of Daniel will, that is, the saved Israelites of that period, noted in the introduction to these lessons. We know that to be delivered from the midst of a trial is not the same as being kept out of it entirely. Yet God can protect in the furnace and then deliver out of it just as effectively and ably as he can keep men from being put into the fire. He chooses which is best. Times of fiery trial are to be expected by the Jews in that day. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." 1 Peter 4:12. Not that we do not know trials in our day, but saved Israelites are going to be Satan's special target in a time so terrible that it will be a great blessing for saved people to die. Revelation 14:13. Still, how much better to take a place in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, than to be consumed while obeying the orders of an evil master. Speaking of the days of persecution coming upon believing Jews, Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew 10, verse 28. These three men whose testimony is before us would likely have missed something very wonderful if they had missed the furnace, for there they met a friend. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Daniel 3, verses 24 and 25. Men of a certain sort argue whether the fourth member of the little group in the furnace was an angel or Christ himself. It really makes very little difference. Whatever the case, it was a personal revelation of him, of his care, and of his abiding presence, even in the fire. Who would avoid life's furnaces at the expense of such a meeting? Read Philippians 1:29, 2 Corinthians 4:17, and Hebrews 11:35. Those who meet him in the fire are not bound, but loose, walking, unhurt. What does it take to humble the mighty of earth? Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, amazed, and devastated when he saw the fourth man walking in the fire. Just the presence of Christ is sufficient both to deliver his saints and to conquer all others. Nothing could have brought down the pride of Nebuchadnezzar so swiftly and yet so simply and easily as did the sight of the fourth man in the fire. So it will be at the end of the approaching tribulation when Christ appears in glory. The brightness of his glory will be enough to defeat every foe. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Daniel 3:27. How wonderful that when the three men came forth from the furnace, there was no sign by sight or smell of what they had been through. Often, and for this very reason, doubters refuse to believe that God's most faithful saints ever go through the fire. No singed appearance or smoky stench rests upon them. With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, only the ropes with which they had been tied were affected by the fire. They were cast in bound, they walked out free. So it is with all who walk the fires of persecution and testing with Christ and for his sake. Very often he uses those fires to deliver them from the bonds of self-will or bad habit which had kept them from walking as close to him as both he and they wanted. We do not glorify the fire, nor do we want its destructive evidences to rest upon us, but how good are the uses to which the fire can be put.